Reading is, I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to stand. This is not a long scripture reading, but let us read together Psalm 27, verses 1 to 4. Stand up. Let's get the blood flowing again. From Psalm 27, verses 1 to 4, if you're able to join with me, either through your Bibles or on the screen behind me, let us read these four verses of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Amen. This is the reading of the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You may be seated. Well, one of the joys of parenting is being able to watch your children learn how to walk. Just out of curiosity, has Bennett taken any steps yet on his own? Maybe. He's getting there. I know a few babies have. But anyways, just picture this moment with me for a second. If you're not just the parent that's been there or about to be there, or grandparents, aunts and uncles, it is a moment filled with great joy, isn't it? When you are there watching that kid standing by the table, you know, not sure, just holding on to something for their life, whether it's a table or a chair or a person. But anyways, with great anticipation, right, you get down at their level when you know this could be the moment. You get down at their level, you open your hands, your arms, and you start to talk in that baby language that you adults do so well, right? Come on, you can do it. You know, you just kind of go there because this could be the moment that they walk to you. And if you're the first person that that child walks to you, that's a claim to fame, isn't it? You know, whoever that is. And that's always fun. Oh, what you parents get to look forward to up there. Those first steps of a child, they're pretty incredible. But it takes many wobbly moments to get there, doesn't it? Many moments where they're just not sure. And often when a child realizes they are standing alone and they're thinking about it, what's usually the first thing that they'll do? Just sit down. They'll just fall. That's right. They'll just sit down and clap or laugh or whatever. They just love it. They weren't ready there. They just weren't. Why weren't they ready? Well, they just didn't have the confidence yet. Those moments where they could have walked, likely have tried, but they lacked the confidence, right? And they just, not yet. Now, we expect them quickly to gain confidence. And when a child does, and they take those few steps, those crawling days, they're history. It's not as if you ever see it go back in reverse. You know, a child never goes from walking to crawling, ever. They will not keep crawling because walking is a lot better than crawling. But it takes time. But we cheer them on, right, as they learn to crawl. And even that's a stage, right, when they're on their backs to get to their tummies and then they start crawling. That's exciting. But then from crawling to walking. But we cheer them on because we want them to live their life to the fullest and to grow in the confidence of their abilities so that they can get the most out of them. It really is a wonderful stage in life. Now, this morning, I want you to consider how important it is for you as a follower of Jesus Christ. And if that is what you are here today, praise God for his gift of salvation that you have received. If you are a Christian here today, I want you to be thinking about the word confidence and your confidence in God. And this is the word that we kind of work through all day long. But what I don't want you to think about is your confidence in yourself. Your confidence in your ability to do things, but instead your confidence that comes from God and His ability to work in your life, to do the things that you cannot do on your own. So this morning I want us to consider confidence in God. Now the messages from our culture, they really don't help, do they? Because the message from our secular and increasingly godless society is this: it's up to you. You have to be self-reliant, you have to be self-sufficient, or you won't make it. We are constantly told to invest in yourself further, love yourself better, believe in yourself more. There is a much better solution than having greater faith in me. And so it's important to be aware of that messaging that is constant around us. It's very me-centered. It's very me-centric. And it's all about you. But really, it isn't. It's all about God. And so we need to be aware of that. Because what we all truly need is God confidence, or as some might say, Godfidence, if you've never heard that before. So what is Godfidence? Well, it is a humble confidence that comes from understanding God's value for each person and is based on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is what separates Christianity from all the other religions of the world. It is centered on the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's about a right relationship with God that we can have because of what Christ has done for us. It's not about what we do to earn God's favor, but what God has done through His grace and mercy to extend salvation to us all. Now, God confidence comes from trusting, again, in God's ability. It's trusting in His faithfulness and in His love. And this is what changes everything. Because confidence in God means that I'm looking to Him first, not myself. That's how I'm starting my day. That's how I'm living my life. It means God is the one that fuels my faith. He's the one that quenches my fears. And He alone stands unshakable, unmoving, unchanging. This is our God. Now, it is only as we have confidence in the Lord that then we will be able to take bold steps. Steps of faith in our life, as we worship, as we serve, as we reach our world in the name of Jesus. It is only through our confidence in the promises of God and His correcting, holy, changing word that we need each day. And walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, that is how we will be able to display confidence before Him as we live out our life. But it is a word that we all need, but we can have in Him. The more that you know the Lord, the more you will love Him. And the more that you love Him, the more that you will obey Him. So this morning, do you want more? Yeah. I pray that you have come with a longing to go and grow deeper in your faith with God. And praise God as He stirs that longing in you. It is true, a child's confidence, not just in walking, in general, grows when a stronger individual comes and helps them. The simple act of being present creates a level of trust that may have been weakened before by a few falls. The same is true with us as we consider the power of God being near to each one of us each and every day. That is where your confidence will come from. Now, Psalm 27 is a psalm of confidence. We're just going to look at the first four verses, and then your challenge for the rest of the Christmas holidays is to study and meditate on it even further. I'm just getting you started this morning. But Psalm 27 is written by King David of the Old Testament. And as you read through this psalm, it is clear he has God confidence. With all the hardship, with all the dark days that David went through himself, as you listen through this verse, it becomes very clear his confidence comes from God. His faith in God is unwavering. Listen once again and open your Bibles to Psalm 27, verses 1 to 4, or the black pew Bibles there as we go through each of these verses. Now, in verse 1, the verse 4, as I read it again, because you've already read it, but we need to hear it again. Listen to David's confidence. Listen to his faith as it jumps out in these words. He says and begins, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" That's how he's saying it, by the way. "When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me and my heart will not fear, though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." In these four verses, David shares his confident trust in the Lord. He seeks out the Lord for God's blessing, for God's protection. And like David, we can have confidence in the Lord for what we're going through in life right now. Now, verse 1 contains three words. I don't know if you notice them. Three words that really convey the depth of God's presence and power in the life of a believer. What are they? Well, if you look at your text, number 1 is light. David says of the Lord, "He's my light. He's my salvation." And number 3, "He is my stronghold." And I want you just to dwell with me upon those three key words in verse 1. Because each of these words carries profound meaning and provides insight into the relationship between God and his people. So David begins by saying, "The Lord is my light." Consider light. Light is a common metaphor for God in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, the theme of light carries through. It signifies his presence, his glory, his wisdom, his guidance, his holiness. God is the creator of life, the source of life. In Genesis 3, verse 1, with his very own words, he speaks light into existence. Isn't our God amazing? He also is the one who gives light to his people, both physically and spiritually. He said to Israel in Isaiah 48, verse 17, "I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go." Because we don't know the way we should go without him. And when we try to figure it out on our own, we often just end up in the wrong place. But listen also to what he said in Isaiah 42, verse 16. God says, "I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth." And that's just a few of many verses that talk about how God is our guiding light. As Christians, we also need the light that comes from God to flood our lives. In the darkness of life, we need his light to reveal what? Well, what is true? What is false? What is right? What is wrong? We need to have answers to the questions, where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? And this is what God's word answers. So stay in his word as you seek him to know the truth about your life. We live in a world that is full of darkness, that is full of suffering and confusion. And we face challenges and temptations and fears all week long. But praise God, he does not leave us in the dark. He is there to guide our way. He has sent, as we celebrate at this time of the year, his son Jesus Christ to be the light of the world. Jesus says in John 8, verse 12, one of the I am statements, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness." Praise God. It is easy and it is natural, I understand, to fear the darkness. And again, there's lots of kids that struggle with sleeping in the dark. They need that door open a little bit. They need that light on because of fear of the unknown, what's lurking, what's hidden. And it's same with adults as well. As we get older, it's a different type of darkness. It's a different type of uncertainty and unknown, because at the center of our fear, and perhaps at the center of your anxiety, is what if? I don't know. Have you ever considered that not knowing is actually a good thing? Because it's about who you know. And that is how you get through it. Let me just say, the Lord understands our fear of the unknown. He realizes that you may be in a situation that you've never passed through before. It may be the first time that you've been without employment. It may be the first time that you've been struggling with a child who's in rebellion. When you think of the things that cause us fear and anxiety and worry, it could be that you've been diagnosed with an illness. Now, you've never been down this road before and you don't know which way to go or what to do. But listen, let me remind you, if you've forgotten, that God is there to guide your way. So remain in Him. Remain in Him through prayer, through worship, through being in His Word. Remain in Him through fellowship with a community of believers, because it's the people in front of you, the people next to you, and behind you that God has placed in your life to help you through that trial that you're going through now. So pray together for breakthrough. When we come to a place we've never been through before, God is always present to help us, and He goes before us. David describes the Lord as what? My light, emphasizing God's role in leading him through life's challenges and uncertainties, and he is confident God will lead him. Now, not only does David call the Lord his light, but he goes on to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And these two words are very similar in this text, salvation and light. But let's think of the word salvation for a moment, because the term salvation in this verse represents deliverance from harm, from danger or evil. What is it that you need deliverance from this morning? It also encompasses not only physical protection, but also spiritual deliverance from sin and its consequences. Now, when the Lord is our salvation, we can be assured that He will rescue us from the threats that we face, both seen and both unseen. And this assurance of salvation brings comfort and hope, reminding us that God is our ultimate deliverer, and we can trust in His power to save us. There is power in the name of Jesus to save. Luke 19, verse 10 reminds us, the Son of God, that is Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost. But you know what makes that verse even more powerful is this, Romans 6:23, which says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And when Paul says that in Romans 6:23, he is relaying a very important truth that we can never forget, no matter how long you've been a Christian, is we're all born dead in our sins. We're all born separated from a holy God. And there's nothing that we can do to make ourselves spiritually alive. You see, our salvation is the result of God's love and mercy. Even though we deserve hell, the wages of sin is death, we are given the opportunity to accept God's grace. For God sent His Son to do what we couldn't do, to live the life we couldn't live, free of sin, and He paid the price that we couldn't pay. In doing so, Jesus provides a way of escape for us from our sin and the punishment of our sin that we deserve and the power of sin that hangs over us. That is why Jesus is the greatest gift ever given to mankind all year round. Can I get an amen? The good news of the gospel is that there is salvation. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. It is God's free gift to us. It is just up to us to accept that gift and then let Jesus become the payment for our sins. An important truth about salvation found in Ephesians 2, 8-9 tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works. Once again, we praise God that we didn't do anything to deserve or earn God's grace, yet He still chose to save us. Jesus often preached throughout the Gospels these words, repent of your sin, which means turn to God. Amen. Turn to Him. When you realize when God's, by His mercy, opens your eyes for to help you see that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, Jesus says, repent, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Let me ask you, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord? Have you received this free gift of eternal life? And if you haven't, why not today? this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we celebrate the love of God demonstrated to us that even while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for you and for me. Now, David uses a third word to describe the Lord. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my stronghold. He uses the metaphor stronghold to describe the Lord. Think about what that word means. What is a stronghold? When I think of a stronghold, I think of this image behind me on the screen. A stronghold signifies a place of refuge, a place of safety, a place that you run to for security during times of distress. And in ancient times, a stronghold was a fortress or a walled city where people sought shelter from the enemies. If all of a sudden enemies were seen approaching, people would run from their homes, from the fields, to where there was a walled fortress like this, and there they would be safe. And by describing the Lord as the stronghold of his life, David emphasizes the impenetrable nature of God's protection. Aren't you so thankful that God is your stronghold at a time like this? When we seek refuge in God as our stronghold, we can trust that he will guard us, defend us against any threat or adversity. And so together, these three words in Psalm 27, verse 1, they paint a vivid picture of God's encompassing power, his presence, and his protection, which always, I believe, leads us to praise. And we will do that a little bit later. When we seek God as our stronghold, we know that with our lives in his hands, everything will be okay. Now, I want to do something a little bit backwards here, because we have looked at three words that David uses in Psalm 27, verse 1, to describe the Lord. But I want us to once again consider the source of these words, because it's important for us to notice that David doesn't say it's in himself. He doesn't say it's my great personality or my warrior complex. He doesn't say that the source is his smarts or his wealth or his family. It's not his guards. It's not his fortress. It's not his work or wealth. No, it is only one thing. It is the Lord. The Lord is the source of his light, salvation, and stronghold. In Hebrew, this is how it's put. If you know Hebrew, what's that word? Who knows it? Anybody want to guess? Where it says, the Lord, in our text, Yahweh. I heard it some way. That's Yahweh in Hebrew. So if we were reading our passage today in Hebrew, it would be Yahweh. Does anyone know what Yahweh is? It's the name of God. It is one of many names of God in the Old Testament. It's actually the personal name of the God of Israel, and it's mentioned over 6,000 times in the Old Testament. And it's one of the most revered and most sacred names of the Lord. Yahweh means I am. And it conveys that God is a number of things. He's self-existent. He is. He just is. He never gets used up. He never wears out. He needs no help. He has no beginning. He has no end. Our God simply is. He is outside of time and space. It's important to go back to the source, right? Because when you think of the words light, salvation, and stronghold, and then you connect them to God, wow, I pray that the Lord will just increase our view of him this morning. He absolutely is, and no enemy of God can claim the same. He has no equal. He exists. He rules. He is unchanging. Yahweh is the name that God used for himself when he appeared to Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, he appears to Moses in the burning bush, if you remember that story, before sending Moses on a seemingly impossible mission against the most powerful nation on earth. And Moses was quite fearful of those steps, but God reassured him. God explains very clearly that Moses is to tell the people that he is and was and will ever be, because Moses was like, what am I going to tell the people who sent me? And God says, well, tell them Yahweh sent you. Tell them I am sent you, which basically means I am, I was, I will be sent you. What an answer. The beginning and the end sent you. Wow. He says to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the one who made the covenant to Abraham to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the one who will bring them out of slavery and defeat all the enemies. I am the God of the living. Tell them that, Moses. Tell them that's who sent you. And that ancient message given to Moses to tell his people is the same message for you and me today. I am the God who will deliver you from the slavery of sin and into a holy life, defeating your enemies along the way. I am the one who loved you while you were still in sin. I am the one who cares so much about you. I am the one who wants you to spend eternity with me. That's the message God wants to give to the lost, the ones in sin that no one wants, the dying, the suffering. And so when David tells us in Psalm 27 that this is the one we can turn to in times of trouble, God's mere name offers assurance. The Lord Yahweh is with you. Be at peace. Go in his grace. In verse 2, as we travel along in this passage, David expresses confidence that his enemies will not succeed. If they try to attack and destroy him, they will fail. And David is sure that they will fail. Again, how is he so confident? Because of Yahweh. In fact, he is certain they will fail because of his confidence in God. David, if you look at the end of verse 3, he says, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. David expresses again, even though he may be surrounded, outnumbered, outmatched, it doesn't matter, because with God he has everything he needs, and he is confident. And so despite this heaviness of David's situation, he was confident that God had a good and perfect plan for him. And so this morning, you can have that confidence too. God has a perfect plan for your life, and no enemy will stand in God's way. It may not be known to you, but does that really matter? God knows. Trust in him. Follow him in obedience and humility. Verse 4, if we go to this last verse in our passage, David opens stating that he has one request. And what is it? One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of his life. And so like other psalms, David rephrases and repeats the desire that he wants. He says it again, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. This is David's desire, not to wear a crown, not to lead an army, not to be king, not to have his whole life planned out, knowing what's going on, but it's just this, to gaze upon the beauty of God. That's all he desired. Of all the things that you want this morning, is that what you want as well? To seek the Lord, to be with him, to be near him. David's one thing was to know God through a close, lifelong relationship with him. And this is how each of us can know him and his plan for us. Now, what could be better than being in God's presence, right? Everything and every problem in this world, in your life right now, is temporary. They are here today and gone tomorrow. None will last for eternity. And maybe you're like, thank you, Lord. But you're in it right now. So remember who God is and that he lasts for eternity. And as you get more into his presence, let me tell you that the more that you spend time with the Lord, the more the cares and the concerns of this world will fade away. They will no longer be of high importance. And instead, perfect peace, perfect love, perfect hope, the candles that we've lit, everything else good from the Lord will surround you when you are in his presence. So this Christmas season, let me ask you, what is the greatest longing of your heart? And as I started this morning talking about baby steps and steps, you know, every day we wake up, we put our feet on the ground, Who knows how many steps that we take in a given day? Perhaps you track them with your device. But it's in the hundreds and thousands. But how many of those steps are taking you deeper in your walk with the Lord? How many of those steps are you taking are involving seeking God's presence daily, getting to know Him more through worship, through the study of His Word, through prayer? Are your steps leading you deeper in your relationship with God or further away from the life that God has called you to live? So let us keep walking closer and closer to the Lord together, because when you do, you will increase in God confidence. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this new day, for your mercies which are new every morning. We thank you that, as David has revealed and as we echo, Lord, thank you for being our light and our salvation. Thank you for being the stronghold of our life. And Lord, it is our prayer that you would stir in each one of us a desire to seek you first above all else. That all the days of our life, we will keep you at the center. We thank you, Lord, for again your protection and your presence in our life. We thank you that you are moving in power even now in this place, changing hearts as we once again surrender to your transforming presence. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.